Good morning. Good morning. Got a couple of things that I want to go over before we get started this morning. I was taken back today. Two things that just really struck me today about reading of Scripture. We read Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 10, and then Ephesians chapter 2. I think he said he's going to read 1 through 8. He might have went all the way through 10. I'm not sure how far he went. I wasn't following along, but weren't you just kind of struck by the Word of God today? You know, sometimes it's just that way. I know we all read the Word of God and we're reading it and that kind of thing. If you can read out loud, just to hear the words, slow down. Krista helps me on Sunday service say, slow down, it's the Word of God, slow down, that kind of thing. But if you can, with your spouse, read the Word of God aloud to each other. You don't have to go real far. Read Ephesians chapter 2, read Colossians, just moving along, but if you just read the Word of God and listen to God's Word, we're going to do that today as we would read some of the Scripture we're going to get into, and I just want to encourage you in that it's a wonderful thing, and God really ministers to our heart. I have been today just by hearing those two passages read this morning, and the other thing I want to talk to you about, it's been real refreshing to have a few weeks out of the pulpit, always is. I'm thankful for Pastor Tom and Pastor Brent and their gifts to preach the God's Word. Sunday morning, bring the Word of God to us, and Krista and I took a few trips to the coast. We had a great time, really enjoyed our time away together and with our family, and we had a really great time with our two oldest grandsons in Avila. We had a lot of fun with them and just being away, and of course, we played a little bit of golf, and I got to tell you, Krista's becoming quite the golfer. She's getting all the lingo down, and she started to make me dress differently, like if we're going to, you know, the whole thing. And but for me, it's always good to have a little time away from pastoral ministries, but I have to admit that it's not long before I'm drawn back and excited to be back with my church family and teach the truth of God's Word each week, so we're going to be doing that today. And before we took some time off, I mentioned to the church that when I returned from the pulpit, we were going to preach through the book of James for 10 or 12 weeks. Well, that has changed. We had elders meeting, had some conversations. That's changed as the elders decided to focus on a topic from Scripture concerning living the Christian life. Important topic for all of us to hear and understand, hear the truth of God's Word. What does it look like to live the Christian life? We're going to talk about that for 10 or 12 weeks, getting some rich and some rich Scripture, depth of Scripture about the Christian life. And I'm still asking the church to pray for to the Lord, asking the Lord to lead us to show us what book of the Bible to expositionally preach. Once this series is over, have some ideas. Many things have been shared by you guys, suggested, but I've always been confident in the Lord that will guide and lead us into what book of the Bible he wants us to learn and to grow together in. He's done that all the way through when I started this a long time ago, and he's always been guiding and leading us through the Word of God, what we would go to next, and I know he wants the church to be edified and grow and mature, and so we're trusting in that he'll guide us in that. So to begin with, go ahead and grab your outline from your bulletins. Grab something to write with. I'm going to ask you some questions today. I'm going to ask you to write some things down. We're going to continually do this as we go through this series on what the Christian life is. As you look at your outline there, you're going to see that you have some spots to write some things down. You might put a hash mark through there so you have, instead of 5, 10, there's going to be a lot that we're going to write down, but we're going to journey through this together. We're going to work on and think deeply into, so what is this life that we have? What is living this life? That kind of thing. What is it according to Scripture? We're going to dig into all those kind of things. So open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin there, verse 15, and we're going to look through Scripture and look at the Word of God and how it's talking to us about what the Christian life is, identifying some things that are very vital, very foundational to us understanding the life that we have. You know God would want us to know the life that we have, right? He wants us to know who he is, and he wants us to know who we are in Christ, and he wants us to know who we were before we were in Christ. We have a testimony of that today, right? Some of the things you heard in the testimonies about our life in Christ, and then thank you, Emmanuel, for holding that tenderly on what you were before. We all know what sinners live like, and we thank you for just presenting it. I was a sinner, needed the Lord, wasn't following him. We know what we were, we know what we are now, we know who the Lord is. God is wanting us to grow in understanding what that life is like. So that's, you have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 1, something to write things down with. I got my pen up here, I brought it today. And here's the question to kick this all off, and I've titled the series this series on on it. What is the Christian life after you're saved? I mean, what is it to live the Christian life according to Scripture? Since you have trusted Christ unto salvation. Like Pastor Brent, great message last week just about the way, the truth and life that we saw in Christ, but the way, the gate, that just what he showed us in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. So you have entered the narrow gate. You have entered the narrow way that leads to life, to eternal life, salvation's life. Pastor Brent brought, and then there's that's the way is him after that. But that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You entered the narrow gate, the narrow way that leads to life. We've all done that. We pray that all of us have done that. Like the Lord said in John 14, 6, which got brought up last week, nobody comes to the Father, nobody comes to a reconciled relationship with God, nobody, but through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. Since you have heard the gospel, you believe the gospel, believe the truth about Christ, repented from your sin, like Mark 1:15, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's what you did. You repented. You turned from sin, turned from self to embrace Christ, surrender to him. Or since, like Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says, you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, that he's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of you. He's the Lord of your life. And you believed in your heart God raised him from the dead, affirming all that Jesus declared himself to be in the word of God, Scripture, God, Lord, Savior, and you're a sinner. And he's the only way to salvation through the work of Christ to bring forgiveness. So you believed all that, trusted that, so now you're saved, you're a Christian. What's the life that you live now? Again, thank you, Emmanuel, for a little testimony on what that life is. If you would have went all that the 12 weeks we're going to preach, would have took a little while. What is that life? What is that life? We heard today in that testimony, everything you need is in Jesus, following Christ, no longer slave to sin. What's the life? So what's the Christian life? I gave you five places to write it down in your outline there. As we go journey through this, I'm going to have you put some things down. That's going to be on the outline each time. We're going to talk about it. We're going to write some things down. Gives you some time to contemplate God's word about this and the truth of it and what it means, what God's meaning by his word, the implication to your life, the application to your life. So we're not in a hurry. We're going to work through this. It's profound. It helps you in the life that you live to understand who you are in Christ, to understand what the Christian life is, and to be able to communicate it to other people. That's the thing. If someone came to you and asked the question, what's the Christian life? Can you explain it to me? What would you say? You might say it's faith in Jesus Christ. You might say, but what would you say? How would you communicate it to them? How would you explain it? And could you refer to the scriptures that calls for the kind of life that you're explaining, what the Christian life is? We want to learn that, grow in that, understand that well. I imagine, I really know in my heart, some of these things that we're going to bring up, that we're going to get into, are some things that we haven't thought about before, and that it's good for us to understand and look at and know. So help me a little bit here. Let's write some things down. I got my pen ready. Help me write some things down. What is the Christian life? What would you say? That sounds exciting. Selfless, right? We can put that down, right? We can say selfless, right? What else do we have over here? Was that you, Carol? New creation. Okay, we got new creation. Selfless. What else? Gratefulness, sure. The Christian life is great. Gratefulness, gratitude, thankfulness, those kind of things, right? Being thankful, grateful. Obedience, servant's heart. Write those down, obedience, servant's heart. Worship. Help me understand worship just for a little bit. Worship means to what? Okay, Romans 12, 1, 2, good. Spiritual act of worship, offer your life to the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship, right? Here I am, Lord. Lead me on to life, right? Give all honor and adoration to him with your life. That's good. What else? Say that again. To read the gospel every day. I like that one, right? Right? To know the gospel, to think about the gospel, to read the gospel. Good. What else was said? Love. Okay. Thank you, Charlie. Brent, remember you were doing something upstairs one time and you're working on all that, talking about all things to God, and you guys got 20-something down, and somebody said, well, how about love? I mean, like, sometimes we forget about that. What else? What else is the Christian life, right? We had hope, satisfaction. Ari, do you have something? Peace. Thank you. I could write these down. Patience, okay. Renewed mind. Write that down. Renewed mind. Living in the kingdom of light. There we go. Surrender. We can tell where some people are in the rock with the Lord, right? I got some hope going. I got some obedience going. I got some surrender. I got some peace. I got, you know, those things. Because isn't it like that, the Christian life? Sometimes we're just identifying it right where we're at in it, right? Kind of right where we're at in it, right? Right? Sometimes it's the comfort of God. Right? Sometimes it's the hope of God. Sometimes it's just the grace of God, mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, patience of God. The, you know, we think of the Christian life as these things. They are the love of God. They are the gospel. The parable has been really encouraging us that we're supposed to share the gospel and leave it up to the Lord, right?
Slave to God.
Say again? Slave to God, right? Slave to Christ, right? Right? That's that word doulos in the Greek. That if you, yeah. Reconciled. So let me ask you a question. These are a lot of things that we do or actions or things that are on us in the sense of peace or grace. And all of them are right. All of them are good. All of them are true. But any of them that come to mind that are not an action you do or something God does for you, but a life that you have, a life that you have that impacts your actions and what your Christian life is. Redeemed, that's a good one. Blessed. Blessing, yeah. Can you think of any others? Forgiven, yeah, that's the one. But that's an action toward God. This is something that, a life that you have. Inheritance, good.
Trust.
Okay, trust, okay.
If somebody asked me?
Yes.
These are all good things.
Go ahead, Brent, that's what I want. I get to these things, yeah. Good. That's such an important one. Our life's in union with the Lord, and God dwells in me. Those are. We're going to look at those down the line a little bit, but such an important. You know what God wants you to know? He wants you to know all this. And as we look at the Bible and learn the Bible and live the Bible, share the Bible, we know all these some kind of these things. You know, a lot of times we don't look at some of the things we're going to look at it as we begin this, but. You have new life, life in union with Christ, new identity, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, child of God, belong to the Lord's church, your members one another, your citizenship's in heaven, and you're a slave of Christ. That's a few things I wrote down. They all impact how you live your life, who you are, and what your life is in Christ and your salvation. There are some foundational truths about Christians that have implications to how you live and what you live for and why you live. The way you live. And God wants us to know what the Christian life is and what it's like to live it. It's not hidden. It's not hidden. It's clear in Scripture. We're going to kind of dig into that, what the Christian is. What is the Christian? What is his life like? Look at our text this morning. We're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. And here the Apostle Paul has just taught the doctrines of salvation. He's taught a chosen, predestination, forgiven, adoption, all the things in Ephesians 1 that we look through. He freely bestowed this grace that he lavished upon us. In him we have redemption, forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. He lavished upon us in wisdom and insight. He teaches all the mystery of his will according to his kind intentions. He purposed in Christ, right? The summing up of all things are going to happen in Christ in the heavens. We've obtained an inheritance, right, according to the purpose of his will. To the end that we first hope in Christ, all those great doctrines, all those great truths in there. And then Paul comes to verse 15, and the Apostle Paul just taught on those great truths, some rich and deep truths, which I was tempted to go into and just, hey, let's just go through chapter 1. But no, we're not going to. We're going to look at Paul's prayer here. But Paul petitions God to give believers a true comprehension and understanding of who they are in Christ. Paul wants them to know what the Christian life is. That's what he prays. He taught all that. We didn't, you know, you have to learn and grow and understand all that and dig into it. But listen to what he prays, verse 15 through 19. He says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." Here's the prayers that God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope. So you know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. I'll just stop there. He's praying for you to know. Certainly from verse 15, we see that the Christian life is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that true faith brings a genuine will love for all believers. That's what Pastor Brent mentioned. There's fruit and all these things that the Christian life is. The fruit that comes from being a believer in Christ. Now you love God and you desire to follow God, those kind of things. We obviously, we see that. That's the Christian life. But Paul goes on in verses 17 through 19 to ask God to give them a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and a true knowledge of God and what God did on our salvation. That's what he prays for. You should understand that the Apostle Paul is praying God's will for you. You know, we always get, what's God's will? I want to pray God's will. Here it is. Here's God's will. He wants you to know. He wants to grant you, give you, show you, give you understanding, help you with wisdom, help you with insight, understanding. He wants to do all that in your life. We participate in it, but it's from him. That you would know the life you have in Christ, the wisdom to live it, and that you would know the greatness of God's plan in your salvation. He, God, wants to help you understand and apply it. He prays that the eyes of your heart, that's meaning is the depth of your being or the depth of your soul, the center of knowledge and understanding and thinking of you, the seat of your mind and new will from your new life. That's what he wants. The eyes of your mind and will, but the will of your new life, not of your old, not the will of your flesh. He wants to your new life's will, the will to follow God. He wants that to have understanding. The center, the seat of your mind and that new will would intimately know or know intimately the hope of your calling, the riches of your inheritance, the surpassing greatness of God's power toward you, and that's active in your life. He asks God to help you perceive it, understand it. Vital for us to know. Vital for us to understand. Knowing this brings clarity to the life the Christian now lives, and God wants us to know it. From your bulletin, look at the front of your bulletin. Look what it says. Open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful things from your law. You got to want to know it. You got to set life aside. You got to think what God wants you to do in this new life. You got to pursue Christ, pursue God, pursue his word, pursue his truth. There's a part that we play in all this. God just doesn't trickle it down in our head while we're sleeping. We just don't plug into something and it happened. There's a participation from our side in all of this. But see, God brought you into a reconciled relationship. If you never talked to your spouse, never not talked about life or what was going on or what's for dinner or what happened or anything like that today, you wouldn't really get to know each other. You really wouldn't get to understand what they're thinking and them understand what you're thinking. See, God made brought us into a relationship. And so on your part, yes, he's all the power, he's all the strength, he's all the, you know, he's the one that causes the growth, he's the one sanctifying us, he's the one that saved us and all that, but he asked us in the relationship to participate in this. There's a part of us that needs to say, you know, Lord, open my eyes up to what you have for me. He's going to reveal it to you from his word. It's not going to be some mystic thing. But he wants you to know. He's not hiding it. But you have to seek it. That's an important part of it. We've all been there when we've just been going along in our life, that kind of thing, and we've missed the things that God was trying to get our attention to or wanting to show us. Thankfully, he's patient and kind and generous. But he's always there. He's never not there. He never leaves or forsakes us. He's always there. And so there's a part of this that is our part to play, and that's pursuing it. But God has all the power and all the growth and all the maturity. All of it is from him. Later in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19, Paul prays according to God's will again. He's not wondering if it's God's will. He's not saying, well, if it's be your will, this is God's will. Ephesians 3, verse 16 through 19, very simple. Listen to what he prays for believers. He prays that he, that would be God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. He wants you to know it, that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Meaning it's beyond just human comprehension, that kind of thing's relational in God. You are strengthened by the Spirit. You are grounded in the love of Christ. And he prays for you to be able to comprehend the love of Christ is so you would know and live the Christian life God has called and purposed each of us to live. You get that? That's why he wants you to know the love of Christ in all of its depth and all of its glory and all of amazing and all that it is. Why? So you will live according to what you know, what you understand about Christ, your Savior, your Lord, that died for you, gave his life for you, sacrificed life, was raised again by the Lord. Why he did all that? And what that meant to you? Well, you know that impacts your life, right? Anybody loves you on this planet in any kind of time or depth at all, it always impacts you. That's a good place for an amen. Right? Husbands, you got wives that love you. You know how that impacts your life. Patient with you, kind with you, putting up with you. Keep cleaning your clothes, keep helping with things, trying to be patient. They're not the Lord, I know. But they love us, and it impacts our life. Now, you learn the love of Christ, you can't help the impact on how you live your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, the Word of God says, listen to what the Word of God says this, 1 Corinthians 2, did I say 12? No, I said 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Thank you. Got rid of that. But the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught with human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. We've received the Spirit of God. And God wants us to know freely the things he's given to us by God in our salvation, in this life. And he's not talking about material things. He's talking about what you got in your salvation, what God changed you, transformed you, relationship with God, those kind of things. So we would know, which we speak, not in words taught. They're way beyond human wisdom. They're taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. This, again, is a relation to our salvation of who you are in Christ and the life we are called to live. It's what we speak and teach in this church family. Things taught by the Holy Spirit, combining spiritual truths with spiritual words, Scripture, so you know who you are in Christ and how to live the life God has given you. Pastor MacArthur commenting on this, he said, the more you study Scripture, the more your mind will be filled with God's principles. That's true, right? As those principles in your mind begin to control your behavior, guide your behavior, lead your behavior, shape the way you live, you will know how rich you truly are. And you'll be able to enjoy the Christian life. That is so true. Let's go a little further. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 with me. Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 9. See, this is not the only place this is at. This is all over Scripture. And I picked out a few to just kind of help us look at this. Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 9. Verse 9. Here is the same concept that we've been talking about. Same thing, the Apostle Paul. And it could be Peter. It could be James. It's any of the apostles. Brent's any pastor or teacher, isn't it? Right? That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about you understanding the truth of God's word, applying it to your life, seeing the truth, who you are in Christ, seeing the truth on how God wants us to live, know the truths of how our God, how our relationship with God, and then walking in that, and then your life changes, and then you start to begin to enjoy the Christian life. You know, just God working in your life, God shaping your life, God dictating, guiding your life, helping you out in the things in your life, growing your relationships with each other. Whatever it might be, it's the life God has for us. That's what we're talking about. So the Christian is, or the Christian life is what we're going to dig into. But look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul writes, "For this reason also, since the day we've heard of it." So the reason and the day you've heard of it, we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love you have for all the saints. That's a common thing all the time, because when you get faith in Christ, first and foremost, Bobby, doesn't he just give us love for other believers? And it's not a gushy love, is it? I mean, sometimes, yeah, but it's that agape kind of love, right? You know, everyone in the room, that because of the love of Christ, what's in you is you desire to act on each other's best behalf for God's best for them with passion by choice. God gave it to you in your salvation the moment you were saved. It's a genuine love. It's a real love. Right? It's not flail love, family kind of love. It's not eros kind of love. It's an agape kind of love. It's the love of Christ. That's how Christ loved you, by choice, with passion. He went to the cross, acted on your best behalf, for God's best for you, and gave his life. Nobody made him. Nobody twisted his arm. That's the kind of love that now we have in each other's life, and that's what he's saying. So I've heard of this. I've heard that, hadn't been there either, but you have this faith in Christ, the love for all the saints, one of the fruit, and you have this hope. You've seen the hope laid up for you in heaven. You heard in the word of the gospel. You're bearing fruit. It's increasing. This is what he's saying. For this reason, you guys are believers in Christ. So this is what I pray for believers in Christ, right? We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let me help you with that a little bit. This is such a rich text. Filled is plerao in the Greek. It means to be controlled or dominated by. It's not that you're empty and you got to get more. God, we're not praying to God. God, give me more of your, you know, fill me with the knowledge of your will. You know the will of God because you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have a new life in Christ. God's not hiding the will of God for you. He's saying, he's praying that you would be dominated, controlled by what God's will is. You know God's will. You know the battle. The battle is, am I going to live God's will? We hear it in the Word every Sunday. We hear it Wednesday night. We hear it in Bible study of men, women. You hear God's will all the time. This is God's will. This is what he wants. This is his desire. This is what he's going. And the battle is, are we going to let it dominate our life? Amen? Is that the battle? Or is it that you just don't know? What's the battle, guys? The battle's with our flesh, right? You may not know some things. We all want to know what the will of God is. Should I buy the car? Or should I take that job? And that kind of stuff. Surrender your heart to the Lord. Lean on him. Let him guide your life. You won't worry about those things. He's sovereign. You guys got that, right? So this is what Paul's praying. I pray that you would be controlled, dominated by the knowledge of God's will. You learned it. You know it. You're growing in it. And let it control you. That you would have spiritual wisdom, Holy Spirit wisdom. That's what that word spiritual means there. Holy Spirit wisdom and Holy Spirit understanding and insight on how to live God's will. That's what he's praying. Who in the room doesn't want the Holy Spirit's wisdom and insight on how to live God's will? Ask any parent raising kids. How many principles applied this morning on what you might do with your children? How many godly principles? Is it going to be this one? Are we going to patiently show mercy today? Do we need to give instruction today? Do we need to have patience in this? The principle of God, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child kind of thing? Which one do you want me to apply today, Lord? Because my heart as a dad when I had young girls was, let's just get patient. That wasn't Krista's desire there. And I failed because I didn't ask God for wisdom on it. I went by my heart. Okay, so you need the wisdom of God and insight of what principles apply in your life. Amen? Pray, I know your will, Lord. Control me by your will. Dominate me by the will, what you desire in this world. It's like Brant sharing with us and sharing the gospel. What's God's will? He wants to share us the gospel, right? Whatever gets in the way of that, we got to say, Lord, give me insight and understanding and wisdom on when that happens and how you want me to do that instead of making it about how I feel or how what it looks like to me or if in the mood or if I'm, or if, you know, well, that guy, he's never going to listen. Let's just make it about you, Lord. What's your wisdom in this? What's your insight here that you have about what you're calling me to do? See, that's what he's praying. You want to live the Christian life? Ask the Lord that you would be controlled by the knowledge of his will with spiritual wisdom and insight. See, that's what Paul prays for us, because he wants us to know. God's not hidden it, his will from any of us in our Christian life. We just want the wrong knowledge. We want to know if the Dodgers are going to win this year. And it be God's will. You know what God's will is? God's will is that they'd all repent, come to Jesus Christ. So who's going to share Christ? And he wants you, if you enjoy baseball, to embrace and enjoy it and don't make it an idol in your life. But enjoy it. It's not a problem enjoying it. Baseball's fun. I played baseball my whole life. I think it's the greatest sport ever on the planet. Golf's kind of close. But I don't get to play it like I did baseball. Like everybody's thinking, this guy plays golf all the time. No, I don't. But he clearly tells us through his word what to live for and how to live as Christians. We're to be growing, learning, understanding, maturing in our wisdom, how the truth of his word applies in our lives and our understanding to these truths and how they apply. Why? Look at verse 10 through 12 of Colossians 1. So that, here you go, purpose statement in God's word. This is why you want to the knowledge of God's will, knowing, and it's in God's word. He's not hiding it from us. Some things we have to dig into and seek after. What's your will here? Sometimes about a job choice, sometimes about a car choice, sometimes about marriage choice. Yeah, all important things in our life, that kind of thing. But he's not hiding it from us. He's there to guide and lead our life. He's not saying, ooh, I'm just going to, no. He wants us to rely on him. He's always bringing us to him. And he wants us to rely on him. So we get used to relying on him and seeking him and letting him guide his life. And he's a better guide of life than all of us in the room put together times 1 million. And we're not even close. Why? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bear fruit in every good work, increase in the knowledge of God, strengthen with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share an inheritance of the saints in light. That's why. That seems big enough to just make this, that we'll all pay attention to what the Christian life is. Because you live the Christian life like that. Like that, strengthened with all power. Not according to my strength, but according to his glorious might, for attaining a steadfastness and patience. To never give in, to never give up, to be patient. Just take the word joyously. Bearing fruit. Increasing in an intimate knowing of God. Living in a manner worthy of the one that saved you. Who doesn't want that? As a believer in Christ. There's much I can say here. I need to kind of move on. There's a few more, but I got weeks to kind of dig into this more. But turn your outline over. Turn your outline over, and we'll dig into the first one that I chose for us today. And I wrote those things down today. See, you guys, look, I wrote them down. I'm going to write them down each week. And those things that God really speaks to my life on and hits me with and that kind of thing. So, yes, teach us that one. That's what I'm going to do. I got four already because I needed to be prepared in case you guys were all just like, I don't know. But only did four, didn't do 12, because I thought, there'll be some out there, I know you guys, right? But I'm going to do this each week, I'm going to have this on here, and I'm going to put the number one is going to be on here, it's going to be this, new life. The Christian life is new life. Living the Christian life is new life. Until you came to Christ, you never knew anything about it. You didn't know what to do, you didn't know how to do it. No one does. You could be unsaved and your parents teaching you things or being a church unsaved, teaching you the ideas of it. You can get the kind of factual things that a human being and human wisdom can get, but until you have new life, you don't get it at all. Because only new life understands it. The natural man can't understand the things of God. None of them. But those who have been born again, those who have new life, praises everything. Right? So that's what we're going to go through. And so that's the first one. It's going to be new life. We're going to look at that today just a little bit. What is the Christian life? It's new life. It's transformed life. It's totally new. Nothing of the old. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. Go back to Ephesians. Ken Hange read that for us this morning. Wasn't that rich and wonderful and beautiful just to listen to, just to hear that truth proclaimed? But as Paul was teaching, and then, you know, the doctrines there of all those things in chapter 1, and just the truths there, and then he prayed that the eyes of our soul, the eyes of our mind, will, emotions of our thinking, our understanding, right, would know and understand our inheritance and the power of God and the hope that we have. Now he starts teaching those truths so we would know. First one here is really the power of God active in your life that was toward your life that's active in your life now. And so Paul starts to teach on what he just prayed so we would have some understanding. And so in chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says next. He says this, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, or transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved." Wow. You've been made alive. You have new life. 1 Peter 1:23 says, you've been born again through the gospel, through the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. Romans 8, listen to Romans 8, 10 through 12 says this, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, well, I'm not dead, but my flesh is spiritually dead. Do you know that? God redeemed your new life, created new life, soul, right, spirit. That's your new life. This flesh is unredeemed. It's not going to heaven. It's not going with the Lord. This new life is. I'm fit for heaven now. I just got to get out of this flesh because it's the only thing staying here, right? Right? And so here God is saying, here in this word, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead, it's dead. It's good because of sin. It's spirit, my body's going to stay here. It's corrupt. Lust of the seat, that's all it wants. Self-gratification, that's all it wants. But this new life I have, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. His, not mine, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's the Holy Spirit. If he dwells in me, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. You got that life by the power of the Holy Spirit, same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. It's a new creative power. It's God's creative power. It's the new life that you have in Christ. That's the Christian life. You are not who you used to be. You're not even, all you got is this flesh that was like you used to be. But the you, the real you, the inner you, who you are, the inner man, is not what it used to be. This isn't coming to faith in Christ and changing who I am in the way I morally change and moral conduct and all that kind of thing. This is transformation. You're not who you used to be. Now begin to live who you are and put off who you used to be. That's Christianity. You're not trying to shape up, make your life better, any of that old life. You got to throw it away. You got to get rid of it. Your identity isn't that anymore. Your identity is that your life is now new in Christ. Your identity's in Christ. You see what I'm getting to here? You have new life. New life. When somebody comes and asks you, what's Christianity? It's new life, you guys. What do you mean new life? Yeah, God's got to give you a new life because that old life's going to hell. And there's no way that life will ever be righteous. And you got to believe in Christ, trust in Christ. He'll forgive you and give you new life. What are you talking about? Yet, that's exactly what Christianity is. He doesn't care about your old life in the sense that let's make your old life better, or you more moral, or nicer, or kinder, or your behavior, or these kind of things. Those don't come out of that old life, never will. You got to get new. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. He didn't come to clean up who you are. He came to give you a born-again, spiritually alive you that didn't exist until salvation. That's the gospel. That's the word of God. That's what God's teaching in his word. You are not what you used to be. Every true Christian has a new life. Emmanuel, you got a new life. That's why it wants to do those things, because your old life never would want to. He didn't change your old life to want to. He gave you a new life that only wants to live for the Lord. But understand, everyone in this room, if you're saved, you used to be verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians, chapter 2. Everyone in this room, that if you're saved, if you're not saved, you're still that. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The devil led your life, and you lived in the lust of your flesh only, indulging in the desires of your flesh and your mind only, and by nature were children of wrath, and we're going to receive the wrath of God. There's nobody in the room that wasn't that, if they've been saved. If you think you're better than that, if you think that wasn't you, I understand sin doesn't manifest itself in people's lives like it does in some other people's lives. But if you don't understand the truth of God's word and say, well, I was sort of somewhere better than that, in between that, you've just totally took the grace of God and thrown it out the window. I didn't need much grace. I was pretty close. I was better. I was good. I was this. You were that, folks. The prince of the power of the air led your life. That's the word of God. That's not my opinion. That's not somebody. That's what the word of God teaches us over and over and over and over. And you needed to be saved, born again, made new, given new life. It's the only way you can follow the Lord. Are you tracking with me? That's the Christian life. That's where it begins. That's foundational to this. If you don't have new life, you can't follow God. You can't follow God. Because your whole life's being led by the prince of power of the air. John 8 says that's who speaks to your life. This is true. That's why we started here. Now in your new life, by the greatness of God's power, you are made alive, regenerated, Titus 3 says. Let me read you what Martin Lloyd-Jones says about this in his commentary on Ephesians 2. Listen to it. Now, there are obviously a number of preliminary remarks that one must make about a statement like this, that you have been made alive. The first is that I feel constrained to make is that this is true Christianity. That it's the very essence of Christianity and nothing less than that. What is described in these words is the very nerve of the whole matter. It is what God has done to us and for us, and not primarily anything that we have done. Christianity, in other words, does not just mean that you and I have taken a decision. Of course, it includes that. But that is not the essence of Christianity. People can decide to stop doing certain things or start doing other things. This is not Christianity. People can believe that God forgives them of their sins, but this is not Christianity in and of itself. The essence of Christianity is the truth we have here. We have been made alive, and this is the real thing, and nothing less than this is the real thing. That's the whole of the matter, you guys. If you haven't been made new, if you haven't been born again, you haven't been given new life, you're not forgiven. You don't have salvation. But if you have salvation, you've been given new life. You've been made new. You've been born again, regenerated. You're a new creation. And that life starts living. That's the Bible. That's the gospel. That's the truth of God's word. And nobody apart from that new life is going to go to heaven. Because that new life is what's fit for heaven. Not an old life. That's forgiven. You've been forgiven of your sin and given new life. Look at Ephesians with me. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 25. Let me just make a couple of comments here. I really like this that I can, preachers always like that they can just continue on the next week. And I don't have to try to hurry and get to a place, but let's just dig a little deeper in this. Ephesians 4, 17 through I want to look through 24. Look at it with me, Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 24. You're there. Listen to what this says. So I say this and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for practice of every kind of immorality and greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Indeed, if you have heard him and have been taught him, just as truth is in Jesus. Look at this correctly. The new life doesn't live like that. It can somewhat live like that until you renew the mind, you grow in an understanding of God and your relationship with him, and then you move away from it. But you can choose to walk by the flesh as a believer in Christ. You can choose to live for the old self, your unredeemed flesh. It's all over the Word of God. You know, your flesh only desires self-gratification. You have new life, desires none of that. You know your new life desires none of that? Your new life desires none of the sin, none of the self-gratification, none of the stuff that the old self, none of what the world has. You know, your new self doesn't follow the prince of the power of the air. It won't. It only follows God. You choose to let your flesh lead your life, and that will follow the prince of the power of the air as a believer. We're choosing with this new life. The new life wants to follow God. The Christian life is a new life, not trying to make yourself something. You just have a new life you're trying to live. The Christian life is you're denying who you used to be, seeking to live who you are. That's what it is. It's a transformed life. Look at verse 22 through 24 of Ephesians there. He says this, that in reference to your former manner of life. Do you see that former? As soon as you're born again, it's former. God made it former. He set it aside. He set it aside in your salvation. He set it off of you. It's no longer you. I won't go through all the scriptures on that, but it's no longer you. He set it off. Then he tells you, you set it aside in your mind and put on a new life. We hear all that all the time, but those are aorist terms in the Greek. It's already been set aside by God. Now he's asking you to see that God set it aside. It's not who you're to live. You're to live this new life. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. In the correct Greek, in what that says, it's you lay aside what's already been laid aside. It's narrowest terms, already been done. So in your mind, in your heart, lay that aside. That's not who you are. And the old self is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the seed. You want to wear that guy? That sound like a good guy to wear? Or gal? The one that's being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the seed? That's your flesh. That's your old life. That's what's dictating its, you know, its journey. You're to deny it, not follow it, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created. That's a creation word. The Creator God created in your new life was created in righteousness and the holiness of truth. He created in righteousness and holiness of truth. That's why you're fit for heaven. If I live only in my new self, get this, but you can't. I won't sin. But I'm not capable of it yet. Nobody makes it in this earthly life not living only in their new self. I'm still renewing my mind. I'm still getting sanctification. I'm still getting understanding. I'm still learning to deny myself. Only Jesus lived in this life and didn't sin. But if I could, I wouldn't sin. Do you know that? Because your old life, your new life doesn't sin. It doesn't choose to sin. Your old life does. Ooh, that just kind of hit me that, man, I walk in my old life a lot. Yeah, that's why God's here to help us, to lead us through life. That's why we're trying to, Christian life is new life, walking in a new life. But the Christian life is seeking to live the new life I've been given by God's power. You have been made spiritually alive, capable of living the life God gave you. This is the whole of the matter. Anytime we're struggling, anytime we're going through things, yes, I understand. This is your thinking. This is what you understand. But basically, let me tell you, do you have a new life? Does that new life want to follow the Lord? Can you choose to live in that new life? Well, let's fight for it then. Because God's already given you the power to live in it. Isn't that true? He's given you the power to deny yourself. He's given you the power to follow him. Be obedient to his word. I know it's hard. I know it's confusing. I know all the things it is. If it was easy, we'd all be doing it, right? But that's why we're saying the Christian life is new life, guys. That's where we're going to begin. That's the whole of the matter. If you don't have new life, you don't have any chance at this. If you have new life, it will all come about as God walks you to it. We all know the basic way of choosing the path of life is Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And I've already covered, can that new life follow Christ, walk by the Spirit, live in the truth of God's word, be obedient and submissive to the Lord, deny self? Yes, it can. We're in need of wisdom and insight and understanding how to, right? Our time is gone. I want to share with you just something, and we'll pick up here next week. We'll pick up here next week. Spurgeon wrote this about this. And I've been looking at a lot of that lately, and you guys, a lot of you guys like the Puritans and read a lot of that. I've been kind of reading that book you ladies are going through has really, really encouraged me to kind of dig into some of those kind of things, unmet expectations. Spurgeon wrote, if you have been truly born again, you have a new and holy nature, and you are no longer moved towards sinful objects as you were before. He didn't say you're never moved before, right? But you're no longer moved towards sinful objects like you were before. The things you once loved, some of them you now hate, and therefore you will not run after them. You can hardly understand it, but so it is, that your thoughts and tastes are becoming radically changed. You long for the very holiness which once it was irksome to hear about. I can relate to that one. And you loathe those vain pursuits which were once your delights. The man who puts his man or woman who puts his trust in the Lord sees the pleasures of sin in a new light, for he sees evil which follows them by noting the agonies which they brought upon our Lord when he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Faith remembers death, judgment, the great reward, the just punishment, and the dread word, eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and for the worship service today and together to lift up our voices to you and pray and to celebrate and to fellowship and to rejoice over one declaring their faith through baptism in the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear about our new life in Christ. They're all true. It's rich and wonderful to just think about. Minister to us through your word this week, Lord. Minister to each one here and to the extended families with the truth of your word. Guard our hearts, Lord, and our minds. Help us promote the truth of the gospel in our circles, and help us love those in front of us well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed for today.